Well, good morning, everyone. Great pleasure to be here. Everywhere I go, I can carry stuff. So let me just see what we got going on here. Look at that, eh? So we're here, and I thank you for having us. It was a joyful Lord's Supper, didn't you think? Highlight of the week, the number one meeting. The reason we come together, to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're going to have I was asked to do a short devotional before we got into the report here. So I'm going to happy to start that right now. As I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking about, you know, my mind sometimes gets blocked into something. And sometimes it's a topic, and as I was thinking about what to talk about here this morning, I was thinking about the love of God, and I've had some things that have really jarred that a little bit this week. A friend of ours, very good friend, I would call him my best friend for 40 years, his son, who was 39 years old, died. And he lived in Tilsonburg. We were at the funeral yesterday in Woodstock. Huge turnout of people, huge. And he has a wife and 5 kids. And the kids range in age from 11 to 2 months. And you know, I was there through all of that and thinking about it, and I was trying to think. His father's my friend, and we actually led him to the Lord. Marilyn and I brought this fellow. He's a contractor at, I was a VP at Collier World at the time, and he was a contractor doing work for us. His name's Phil, and we got to know him and eventually invited him over to our house. For dinner, he showed up. This was in December. It was snowing. There was a blizzard out. He showed up in short pants and a T-shirt. And that's just the kind of guy he is. He's just out there, you know. And so Phil, we said to him that night while we were having dinner, asking if he would like to have a Bible study with us. I talked to him while he was working on our buildings and our offices and so on. And he was interested in the Lord. And so he came to our house and showed up for a Bible study. And we started a Bible study with them in January. And within 4 weeks, his wife trusted the Lord as Savior. Within a couple more weeks, he did. Since then, there's probably, he's got 7 kids. All of them trusted the Lord. All of them are married to Christians. All of them have kids that are growing in the Lord. His brothers and sisters have trusted the Lord. Through this plant, this seed that God put in the ground, he's grown this great number of people. There were over 400 people, I think, at the funeral yesterday. Maybe half of them were Christians. The other half heard a wonderful, remarkable story about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I was just thinking about the love of God. And I was trying to think what, you know, when I was talked to Phil, I talked to him 3 or 4 times very briefly during the day. And he was on the verge of breaking up almost every time. He's a big, strong Italian guy. And it was like he was kind of melting, you know. And I was thinking, how does a father lose a son? How, maybe some of you have, I don't know, but I have a son, and I don't know, I've looked at him a lot yesterday, and I just thought, you know, how would I handle that? But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and his father gave his son so that we would be saved. And his father loved his son, and he obviously at some point talked to the son about going to earth to become man, to suffer and die for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, send me. Yeah, because I love them that much too. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? It's an amazing thing. So maybe you can turn in your Bibles to Romans 8. And I'll just sort of go in and out of this passage for a bit, but I think that this, the ultimate expression of God's love, I think this is one of the greatest expressions of God's love for us. How much does he love us? Romans 8, 1, verse 1 and 2. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Go down to verse 34. We'll touch on others, but these are the main ones. Maybe verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who has even at the right hand of God and makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall do that? Who could do that? J.I. Packer said this about this passage in Romans 8. It's the Everest of the New Testament, a high peak of Bible writing. The highest peak of Bible writing. Think about that. If it is, I don't know. I don't know the Bible as well as J.I. Packer, but I would say that if it is, we ought to understand it, right? We ought to know what it means. So another author wrote that the first six verses of this chapter, the first six words of this chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation. Those words should cause us to pause and think for a few minutes. Who can say there is no condemnation? Who can say that? Somebody that knows. Somebody that can control condemnation, or at least know the person that can control it. And they can make that statement, there is now no condemnation. Well, only Christ can say that. Paul can only say that because Christ told him. Because he can scope out the whole universe and say, there's not a person here that could condemn what I've done. That's what it is. He evaluates everything and he says, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he died. He died. He purchased the salvation for us. He's the one that loved us so much that he came. And he's the one that set us free. And that's what it says in verse 2, isn't it? It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Who can say that? Only God. Only God. So, I remembered that Stuart Townsend, I looked up the words of how deep the Father's love for us on the internet, and I'm just going to read the first four lines of that song, but the rest is just as good. You should read it. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast, beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. It's kind of saying, in my terms, what kind of God is this? How big is his love? How expansive is his love? How far back does it go in time? How far? How far forward does it go in time? What is God and what is he doing now in time? to show us his love. Well, when God says something's good, that means it's flawless, it's perfect, it's precious. God evaluated his creation at the beginning and he said it's good. He looked at man, he said they're good, it's good. Perfect, flawless. But man chose sin, so we're all tumbled into sin. But God looked at us and he didn't walk away. He didn't just leave us there. What he did is he chose to redeem us. At what cost? At what cost would he redeem us? Well, he would redeem us by the blood of his own son. Now think about that. We say it pretty fast sometimes. Oh, the blood of Jesus. You know? But God loved his son with a love bigger than we can understand. And he said he would send his son. He sent his son to earth and his son came and died. So in the past, God loved us. It says before the foundation of the world, God loved us. Think about that. Before the foundation of the world simply means there was nothing. He loved us before we were. He loved people before there was a person. He loved the world before there was a world. He loved us. How much did he love us? Well, the fact is if we go back into the scriptures, Ephesians chapter 1 says, God chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And if you looked it up, you could find out that the Lamb's Book of Life was written and the names were already there. He knew us. And he loved us. And he says, I'm going to save them. God so loved the world, he sent his son to save us. Well, then, so right now, in the past, he loved us. He, the Lord Jesus Christ wrote this in John 17:24. It's a prayer to his Father. Father, you loved me from when? When? From before the foundation of the world. You see? From before the foundation of the world. That's where it started, way back before the foundation of the world. And how long is he going to love us? Till eternity. And there's no end to eternity. We don't have an end to say, you know, June 24th or anything like that. It's no end. And then, right now, what's he doing? Well, this time right now is called the age of grace. It's called the time when the Lord Jesus Christ evangelizes people. They bring him to the Lord Jesus Christ. The time when we are all called disciples and we are to disciple people. That's our job. Go into all the world and make disciples. That's our job. And then we're to grow those people through the Word of God and through discipleship into disciples, where they themselves would go out and disciple others. That's the job that we have. Full of grace to be able to do that job. So in present times, the Lord Jesus Christ is still ministering to us, but it's through the Holy Spirit. Now this Romans 8 passage says in verse 28 and 30, he graciously calls us before we're saved. So before salvation, he calls us. Second, he justifies us, verse 30. So when we believe, we are declared clean, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are justified, just as if we never sinned. We are made clean. And he does that to deliver us when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So every one of you that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior are justified and delivered forever. There's no limit to his love. And then it says in verse 30, he glorifies us. That is what we are destined for, glory. He's still working on us. We're still what we are, but we're growing in the Lord. And he's headed us toward glory. We will be with him forever and be like him. But then I encourage you to study Romans 8 on your own with a piece of paper in your hand and a pen. Because in Romans 8, 20 times in this passage, it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. So you should put down a column with a list and write the verse numbers down there. And over here, write down what the Holy Spirit's working on for you. He's mentioned 20 times here. The rest of Romans, he's only mentioned 8 times. This is the work, the power of God, the Spirit, in our lives. How much does he love us? He doesn't leave us alone. The Holy Spirit indwells us, and he works in us. And the Lord Jesus Christ indwells us and works in us. And God the Father indwells us and works with us. And we are made to stand in Christ, and we're immovable if we're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. How much does he love us? Well, who but God could create a plan before the creation? Who but God could send his perfect Son, holy, without blemish, without sin, without even a stain of any kind, to redeem us? Who but God could plan out the details of eternity and say, it's for you. I want you with me. I want you to enjoy things. So, past, present, and future, God loves us. And then I'm just going to come to an end here. Chapter 8, verse 34. Here's where he says for the second time, who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Here, Paul gives us 4 reasons why our salvation cannot be taken from us, so we can walk away confident. First one, it's Christ who died. He died for us. He paid our sin debt. The debt was blotted out. There's nothing left against us. We are perfect in Christ. The second thing he says is, Christ is risen again. Well, what about that? Well, Christ is risen from the grave. He overcame death. He overcame sin. He overcame Satan. He was raised in glory, and God accepted him as having paid the penalty of our sin, and we are declared clean in Christ. Christ died. Christ is risen again. Third, it says, he is even now at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of God. He's in that place of authority. God has given all things to him. And he's in that place at the right hand of God where he has authority over all creation. Overall. And he's there, and he's there, it says, the fourth point, making intercession for us. He's there in all authority. He has the authority to do all things. But one of the things he's doing is he's praying for you. There you go. Who's going to move him? He died for us. Is he going to condemn us? He brought us to himself, and he loves us. We can answer the next question in Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Who? No one. Paul asks, is there anyone? He says, verse 34, who can issue a condemnation against a believer? Verse 35, who can separate us from Christ and God? Christ alone has the authority. So that's a little thought for you to carry along. And I hope you enjoy your time meditating on it with the Lord. I'm now going to... I'm Don MacMullen. That's no big deal, but I serve a big Lord. And I have been chairman now for Everyday Publications and past president now for, I've worked there for about 40 years. The most important thing I do right now is I run the binding machine on Thursdays. And my bride is here, Marilyn's here, and she is much more important to the flow of things, whereas she's an editor, our final editor. She checks other people's editing, and she works on Thursdays running many different machines in production. So she's busy as well. And today I have the brand new, newly commended workers of the McDougall family. How many people have heard of the McDougall family? Just two of you? Oh, the rest of you are in for a lot of fun here. The rest of you are going to, so maybe you can add that to your 5-minute speech up here. Who is that McDougall family? They were the grandparents, I believe it's the grandparents of Ian McDougall here. They were missionaries in Prince Edward Island, from Prince Edward Island in the Congo, at Niankundi. And then Harold McDougall was commended to the work of Everyday Publications. I think it's about 22 years ago now, somewhere in that neighborhood, around 2003, I think, somewhere in there. And Caitlin, she just came along to keep Ian company. So I'll ask them both to come up and introduce them to you. And Ian's going to say a few words about why he just became a commended worker with Caitlin to his work at Everyday Publications. And welcome them. They have been commended workers for just under 3 weeks. There you go.
All right. I just have...
He wrote that book.
All right. Rather than get into a list of facts and different events that have happened, I really just want to give you a short little look at the heart of what has brought my wife and I here today, what the Lord has done in our life. So I have just a very short 5-minute little devo. And the first one actually comes from, as you know, I was here 12 years ago as a little boy, and I was actually able to speak then too. And as I was preparing for this, I was blown away how the Lord kind of set up this little bit of ministry for today. Because what I spoke about then, and I'll recap it for you in case your memory's a little fuzzy from 12 years ago. But we just have a little thought, two little thoughts about our hearts, and look at the Savior in two boats. And we're just going to quickly look at that. So the first example is John chapter 6, starting in verse 18. John chapter 6, in verse 18, we have Jesus. He's walking across the raging sea. You know the scene very well. And his disciples, they're in a boat, and they're absolutely terrified. So starting in verse 19, we'll break into the story. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Verse 21 of John 6. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, I believe that this passage of Scripture, this can be applied to anyone and everyone, no matter what no matter what state you are spiritually. You see, Jesus, he draws closer than a brother. He desires to be part of everyone's life, whether you are unsaved or you are a Christian. Acts 17:21 says, he is not far from each one of us. We know that God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of salvation. And with the Christian, we have a picture of Jesus in Revelation. He's knocking on the door. He always desires deeper fellowship with us. So he's close. He desires to be part of our lives. If Jesus is your life, or you are just finding out about him, he is not far from each of us. He is near and drawing near if we will let him in. And an example of this, one that kind of propelled us under this journey of ministry, I got a phone call one morning from my mom, and she said, Ian, your father has had a massive heart attack, and we're in the ambulance. Come. So I hopped in my work truck, and I'm racing down the highway. I catch up to the ambulance, and the ambulance pulls over. And that is, as you know, is never a good sign. And in that moment, like the disciples in the storm, I willingly received Jesus into my boat. What did I say? I said, Lord, no matter what happens, I will trust in you, no matter which way it goes. Now, that did not bring my father back. But what it did do, it changed everything. I don't understand. When we don't understand what God is doing, we can trust his heart. And when we let Jesus in, he really does change the situation. We see the disciples, when they let Jesus into the boat ended up right where they wanted to go. When we let Jesus into our lives, into our situations, he starts working instantly. And we are where he needs us to be. So that is our first boat. The second boat, once he's in the boat, once you let him in, there's work to do. Matthew chapter 8. So Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 and 27. So once again, the disciples, they're in a boat, and they're in great peril. For fishermen, these guys have a terrible track record of keeping safe on the sea. But here we have another situation. They're in trouble. They're with Jesus on the boat, and we'll just read what happens here. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27. Now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Verse 26, then he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Verse 27 of Matthew chapter 8. So the man marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? Okay, so here we have Jesus is Lord of our lives. We have let him in. We were bought at a price. And the disciples, they are following Jesus. And now they're looking at him. And they're saying, who is this guy that even the winds and the waves obey him? The winds and the waves obey him, but what about us? Are we answering the call that Jesus has on our lives? You look at Philippians 3, 7 to 10, you look at what Paul says. What things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. Paul, he was a good guy. He was doing good things, and he counted those things as loss. Sometimes, I know in my life, I had to count things that weren't even good. We have all these gray things, gray areas in the Christian life. And sometimes we struggle to sacrifice even these mediocre things. Paul sacrificed all these things, even things that were good things, to attain Christ. And nothing that we sacrifice for Christ, who every time we sacrifice something, he fills up that space. So when we get rid of watching Netflix or this habit or that habit, if we replace that with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we come out so much farther ahead. He only leads in victory. Paul, yes, even sacrificed good things. Christ wants all of us. He paid for all of us. And he certainly deserves all of us. And it's in our best interests to give him all of us. It's just a matter if we actually believe that that is in our best interest, if he has spoken those words, if those words are true. So obedience, what it came down to, my wife and I, when we started to see the claims of Christ on our life and what he was, you know, obedience, we've made it a mystical thing. You know, what should I do? And we're looking for signs in the sky. But obedience is not some mystical process. It can be simplified down to one phrase. Here I am, Lord, send me. So there we have two little boats. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, Jesus wants to be part of our lives. He wants to enter into that boat. He wants to have a part of our life. And number two, that part of that life is obedience. Even the wind and the waves obey him. Why don't I? Thank you so much for your time.
So it's great to have those folks on board, committed to the work of the Lord. They come with some skills. Caitlin's a teacher, and she will soon have a brand new child to look after, and that'll be her main focus, her husband and her child, for some time. But the main focus of Ian is he comes with, he's a carpenter, and he comes with tremendous skills, and he's worked now for, probably grew up in everyday publications because that's where his dad hung out. And so he's very familiar with things and becoming more familiar very quickly. So we're thrilled. You know, we don't recruit people. We pray, and we wait for the Lord to send people along. And we were looking for somebody with certain skills that could step into Harold's shoes at some point. And we couldn't have asked for a better person to fill that. But the Lord sent them along. The Lord had sent his father along, Harold and Barb. And Barb's still working there, for those of you that know her. And, it's an amazing thing to see what God does. We don't ask for money. I don't come here to ask for money. I come here to inform you. We are what our brother referred to us as, a missionary corporation, I guess. We're missionaries. And there's nobody at our place that comes in for a paycheck. The people that are commended by one of the chapels. They do the work, and we appreciate it. And we don't do debt. We don't ask for money. But you know what? In 60 years, God has funded us beautifully, and we have no needs. So I'm just going to clear that up. We're not a retailer. We don't sell books. That's not what we do for a living. We don't sell books. Our retail arm is Gospel Folio Press. We turn our books over to Gospel Folio. They retail them, or sometimes we wholesale them, which simply means we can give the best price. We're scraping just over cost. One of your local ministries here, New Life Prison Ministry, we do all the printing for them for 80 prisons across Canada, and we sell them the book just above our cost. That's all. And it was said by the president of New Life Prison Ministries, if EPI didn't do what we do, that they couldn't do what they do by getting free Bible materials out to people in prisons right across Canada. So there's a lot of people that are like that. So I'm going to tell you about our, but I just want to set it clear up front. We don't retail. Well, we do. I can't say we don't. We do. We retail. But if somebody writes in to us on our website and orders a book, we fill that order. That's it. But we don't have a retail outlet. We have Gospel Folio Press, who are a very good friend and a man that loves the Lord, Sam Cairns. Maybe a lot of you know him. Wonderful. So, okay, we're going to talk about everyday publications. This video tells a little
It wasn't until 1960 that the Congolese people held in their hands the first Bible in their own language. Soon afterwards, the Harlows also began to move forward their vision of providing the Congolese with Bible resources in their native tongue, which would help them understand their new Bibles. And so there, in the heart of Africa, Everyday Publications was born. The Bible quickly became their most treasured possession. During times of conflict and famine, they would often stand in line to receive a Bible before getting in line to receive food by relief agencies. In later years, when violence increased and schools, mission stations, and homes were destroyed, causing people to flee, they run with their Bibles.
Wherever our brothers and sisters move, they go with their Bibles.
Since 1964, our titles have been translated into over 70 languages, reaching 89 countries. And today, the ministry reaches around the world. Our process is quite simple. We begin with God's Word, the Bible. We develop resources that help explain the Bible and send those to missionaries and national workers who in turn seek to reach others using our materials, bringing the gospel to the lost and discipleship to believers. This makes Everyday Publications really a mission organization serving missionaries. To date, over 7 million books have been printed and distributed around the world, mostly to assembly missionaries and national workers. And today we directly support 5 languages: English, Congo Swahili, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. For 60 years, the Lord has directed His ministry at Everyday Publications and has provided faithfully for its needs through His people. Over 1.6 million pieces of literature have been shipped, including 400,000 Bibles. This last year, we partnered with several other assembly ministries to ship 90,000 Bibles, 10,000 Believer's Bible Commentaries by William MacDonald, and 45,000 hymn books, all in Congo Swahili. At the time that we attempted to place the order with our U.S. Print vendor, there was a worldwide shortage of shipping containers. We eventually ordered through an American-owned Bible printer in Belarus, that had a reputation for high quality and low price. The invasion of the Ukraine by Russia complicated this process, as Belarus is a Russian ally. But we praise the Lord that all 7 containers were shipped and eventually arrived safely at their destinations. Our partners in this massive project include Opal Trust UK, who ordered 12,000 Bibles and had them shipped to northern Zambia to supply the many refugees who have fled the conflict in the DR Congo. For All Nations, an assembly ministry from the Netherlands, ordered 20,000 Bibles and 5,000 Bible commentaries to ship to Bunia in northeast Congo. Global Connections and Missions, also known as G3, an assembly mission group from New Zealand, oversaw the order for 13,000 Bibles for the Katanga province, which serves over 1,000 assemblies. The remaining 45,000 Bibles, 45,000 hymn books, and 5,000 commentaries were shipped to our partner, Emmanuel Community, in the Ituri province in northeast Congo. We pray that the Lord will bless these resources and that many would put their trust in Him and that many others will grow in their faith. Join us to learn more about what God has done and continues to do as we join Him in bringing the Word to the world for the next generation.
Years ago when we visited there, I made a point of asking the people what was their most precious possession. That was based on the background that their villages were being raided. They were being chased out of their villages. It's a war zone. Congo's a war zone. It's still 50% of our ministry. But I said to them, what's their most precious possession? What would they take if they were going to run? They said, I take my Bible. And, you know, these people love the Word of God. And so when I was speaking there, and I think I spoke 22 times in something like 10 or 12 days, and I would say, I know somebody that's praying for you right now. And they would say, ah. And I, because I was speaking through an interpreter. And then I said, and you know this person. So all the heads go up, and I said, Mrs. Gertrude Koppel is praying for you right now. Oh, Mama Koppel. And the ladies held up their Bibles because she's the one that was the driver behind getting that done and finished the Old Testament and translated all of the commentaries that are in Congo Swahili even to today. And so she was like their spiritual mother. And, of course, her name changed to Gertrude Harlow when she got married. And you'll hear more about her. But wonderful, wonderful people. Christianity, some say Christianity's shrinking, that it comes out all the time. But what is really happening to it is not shrinking, it's growing. It's actually growing at twice the speed of the population in the world. And the difference is that Northern Hemisphere isn't growing. United States and Canada is not growing. Europe's not growing. But you go into all the Southern Hemisphere places throughout Africa and South America and into India and places in central part of the world, they're growing at a rate that's greater. Some say that there's more African Christians in Africa than there are people in the United States right now. It's growing. That's who we minister to. So we'll give you a little
Hi. Insight. My name is Terry Wilson, and I am privileged to serve with Everyday Publications. As we celebrate 60 years of God's faithful direction and blessing, we want to share with you our threefold purpose to help you understand the heart of our ministry.
My name is Rex Trogdon, and I'm a board member of EPI. Here are three things you should know about our ministry. First, we are a mission to missionaries. 95% of all the literature we produce is sent to the mission field or to local assemblies. In 1964, Dr. Ed Harlow wrote his first Everyday English commentary on the book of Genesis, and this was quickly translated into Congo Swahili. Over the next 30 years, a simple commentary for every book of the Bible was completed in simple English. Today, by God's grace, many of these books have been translated into over 70 languages and distributed to more than 89 countries around the world, with over 400 titles in print. We now directly support 5 languages: English, Congo Swahili, French, Portuguese, and Spanish. More than 7 million books have been shipped by Everyday Publications to mission fields around the world, where they are used in personal evangelism and one-on-one discipleship. Ask about special pricing for missionaries and assemblies. Hopefully, we can be a blessing to your ministry in the way that these missionaries have been blessed. Lazarus Kasau from Kenya writes, 99% of EPI courses are given to prisoners, and they've been a big tool in reaching the inmates for Christ. Chunga Jingini from Zimbabwe writes, "Everyday English books are written in simple English and so are easy for most students to use. EPI's small booklets covering various topics are very popular here." Ken Russell from Uruguay says, "In Uruguay, the materials of everyday publications have been used for many years. Many brothers, a lot of them young, use the courses to accompany their Bible reading." And Gilberto Venegas from Colombia notes, "We have been tremendously blessed with EPI courses and books. We have over 1,000 distance learners studying them in a theology program. We count it an honor to be a mission to these and many other missionaries around the world, for we are co-workers in God's service." 1 Corinthians 3:9. Secondly, we are an assembly ministry equipping assemblies. We are committed to the assemblies and to assembly teaching. Over the years, we have commissioned and printed many books to help equip local assemblies with tools for spiritual growth. We develop a variety of resources to support your assembly's youth ministry. We also have books about leadership development and helpful Bible doctrines that cover such topics as the church, election and predestination, and many others. We produced books about discipleship, addressing matters related to both the disciple and discipler, as well as evangelism, a variety of tools from the study of evangelism to gospel booklets. All our books are written by assembly writers and are doctrinally sound and Christ-centered. To see all our resources, visit us at everydaypublications.org. Lastly, we are missionaries serving missionaries. We are a faith-based ministry that never solicits funds. We send materials to missionaries and national workers around the world at deeply discounted pricing as the Lord enables. This is made possible by the faithful support of individuals, assemblies, and assembly mission organizations as the Lord leads. All of our full-time staff are commended workers supported by the Lord's people. This team consists of Terry and Shirley Wilson, Noel and Duana Bont, Barb McDougall, Brian and Jackie Cretney, and Sarah Townsend. All of our remaining helpers are volunteers both locally and at a distance. Most of our translation work is done by assembly missionaries and national workers. We are grateful to have a hard-working, deeply committed board who are mission-minded. In fact, three of them are former missionaries and are still actively involved in their own ministry as well as serving the Lord through everyday publications. We trust this overview of the work of everyday publications has been helpful. As a ministry, we have the very great privilege of seeing God doing remarkable things through literature sent to assembly missionaries and national workers.
You'll be encouraged to hear of many coming to trust the Lord, then growing and being strengthened in their faith, then baptized and discipled. New assemblies are starting, even in refugee camps, and growing through literature. For instance, in a recent month-long gospel campaign in Northeast Congo, over 2,200 people were saved. We would love to come and share what the Lord has done and continues to do through literature. If you're interested in a visit from us, please contact me, Terry Wilson, at twilson@everydaypublications.org. God bless.
So I'm going to go through this very quickly. When they talk about Dr. Harlow beginning to write in everyday English, Dr. Harlow developed that language, that method of writing, so that he took materials by a fellow named William Wunderlich, who had designed a structure in order to write, to make it easy for people to read. It doesn't take away that the scripture is profound in all the meanings or anything like that, but it's written in an English that is available to people that don't understand regular English that books are written in. So he decided to write a book about every book in the Bible in everyday English. And as you can see right now, over 7 million of those have been shipped. They go into the hands of people, and that's what we believe that Dr. Harlow had this. I saw this on the back table there. This is a great book. I'd like to tell you about it. But if it's written in regular English, people have trouble with it. But Dr. Harlow would take a book like this, and our job is to hand them to people, missionaries or full-time workers. They talk about 95% of the books go out, and but I would think, I'm just guessing now, but I think it's probably 80% of those go free, shipping included. So the Lord funds all that. So that's an amazing thing. But the idea is this book goes into the hands of people that can't afford them to give them to people who can't afford to buy them. And they go through the books and they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We're a mission to missionaries. We have Bible education programs. Dr. Harlow's work, Gertrude said, as soon as you translate those into everyday English from regular English, then she would make them into, she would translate them into Swahili. So now you have that whole Bible commentary in Swahili. Also, we have Believer's Bible Commentary by Bill McDonald, who was on our board for some time, and other people, like we have materials by people like Bill Deans, who started the work in Niankundi in Africa. So there's a lot of years have gone. That's what our growth looks like in 5-year segments. We average around 110 to 120,000 books a year going out to people, and people coming to know the Lord. When we ship Bibles, we ship them in bulk to people, and people have to track all the books that we send them. They have to track and tell us how they used them, where they used them, if they sold them, what they did with the money that they sold. And we don't want money from them. What we want is to be accountable to the Lord for what we've done. So we have that. That's all done. And when we ship Bibles, we shipped, I think it was around 70,000 Gospels of John. Under agreement, they use those Gospels of John's for evangelistic campaigns. So Terry remarked that 2,200 people were saved on one gospel campaign that was going on for a month in the Congo. Well, they were handing out Gospels of John and preaching on the Gospel of John. And that was the teaching that they were getting that would bring them to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Word of God that changes things, isn't it? And so the Word of God would go out. Once they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they get a New Testament. With that New Testament, they enter into Bible studies and they're being discipled along using materials that we've developed for that discipleship program. And then once they come into fellowship in the assembly, then they get a new Bible, a whole Bible. So now they're on their way to discipling others. So that's the process. So it's very clear what happens. This is what happens, what it looks like when shipments arrive. You can see the lady here. This is a fun one. You can't hardly see it too well there, but right there, she's got her Bible on top of her load, which is on top of her head. This is the terror of the Congo. These people are fleeing from their homes, their villages, and their fields, and they're headed off somewhere. The good news about it is that they take the Bible with them and they create a new ministry where they land in a new refugee camp. So God is using even this. You can see them spread out around the world in various directions. There are tens of thousands of people in various camps. Now, one of the things that came out of this thing is that we were every once a month on a Friday morning, once a month, we have a Zoom call to people from the Congo, the people that are in charge. They have 300 assemblies there, and they're growing at a great rate. But in the countries around the Congo, they also have these big refugee camps. So this one refugee camp was in Uganda, and there are, within that camp, there are 15 assemblies. In the population, those assemblies range from 2 to 500 people in the small ones and up to 1,500 in the big ones. And so, and they're preaching the word of God. So we equip them as well with Bibles and so on. We just got a letter back recently from a fellow that said, I've been a Christian for 16 years. I've never owned a Bible, but I got one now. It's exciting stuff. And so in that meeting, I'm just going to shorten it down. This fellow, Eddie, who's in charge of youth ministry there, he has 1,400 people in his youth ministry. I said to him, what can we do to help you in your ministry? He said, I need a WhatsApp, a video that I can work on WhatsApp. So I said to Rex Trogdon, I hope you know him, but Rex is on the was on the call, and I said, Rex, that devotional you're writing for us for John, can you make that into two-minute segments, and we could put a video out on WhatsApp? He said yes. I was surprised he said yes, but he said yes that fast. Then the second thing is they, Eddie asked him if he could translate it into Swahili, and he said yes. He'd served it in the Congo for 12 years. So he put it on WhatsApp. Here's what...
Greetings, beloved. John 6, 20 and 21 says, but he said to them,
pero él les dijo, soy yo, no tengan miedo.
Entonces lo recibieron voluntariamente en la barca, y de inmediato la barca estuvo en la tierra a donde iban.
Il y avait une seule façon d'apaiser la peur des disciples, et il y a une seule façon de répondre à nos peurs. Jésus leur cria par-dessus le vent et les vagues en disant, c'est moi, n'ayez pas peur.
Kama maisha yetu, lazima tuwe tayari na kutaka kumupokea sawa sawa na alivyo. Amina.
So, with those first two languages we did on WhatsApp, we had it in English and Swahili, and this is how much of the world we're shipping to now. We're shipping to 30 countries around the world, and when they hear about it, it grows again. So they're getting the gospel around the world on WhatsApp and teaching through the Gospel of John. And Terry will be going to some conferences this year, and he will expand that further. So here we have North America, the English and Swahili part of Africa, down through parts of Asia, and Australia, New Zealand, and in the Philippines area. Now, with our five languages, we will do all of South America, because it's Portuguese and Spanish. And then we'll do Mexico area and the Caribbean, which is Spanish. And we'll do United States, which is Spanish is the second, it's the second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world now. So we've got a huge work there in Spanish. Mark the Jager. Does anybody know Mark the Jager? He's a missionary, worked in Peru. He's now living in New Brunswick, but we gave him the responsibility of Spanish in North America, so he's now reaching out to those assemblies. In Africa is French and Portuguese and a little bit of English. And the rest of it's a lot of Swahili. We'll cover Africa, we'll cover Europe, we'll cover parts of Asia, and we will cover Australia. All on two-minute videos, which we're producing. So I got to stop there. I'm over. So I can talk to anybody about it, but I think you saw the main things. You can come back to the table. You can see materials. Our materials are made to hand to people so that they can spread the word of God. And God does the work, and people are saved. It's just the word. So thank you so much for having us. that chart that's there is those three parts that we talked about. We're a mission to missionaries, we're a mission to assemblies, and we're a mission that is run by missionaries themselves. And it's God's work. Nobody owns it. Our board looks after it. That's all. So would you like a close in prayer? And then I guess we're going to do something after lunch. Did you say, or they can just ask me questions or whatever they want during lunch? Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, the Lord Jesus, for your word. What a wonderful, powerful tool. For your Holy Spirit, who works in the lives of people we'll never meet. The Lord Jesus Christ brought the gospel for the whole world. That you said to every person, go into all the world and make disciples. And Father, we just pray that we would be faithful to your ministry as we do our little part of it. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.